Well, as we talked about this past Friday, this nation and really this world was completely shaken by the tragedy that happened in the elementary school, of all places, in an elementary school in Connecticut. And in the middle of the pain, in the middle of all the questions that even I know you're dealing with, and even in the middle of the loss that even we experience here in Georgia, we were painfully reminded that until Jesus comes back, until Jesus returns to fully restore all things, this tension that God is in control, but yet evil still exists in this world. And when Jesus returns to restore all things, all of evil will be finally defeated. But we know in our lives that sin and death has been defeated through the power of Christ. But this tension of the already aspect of the kingdom of God being present, but yet we wait expectantly on this hope that is not yet fully realized. And as a pastor, I have to say that I know for a fact that God didn't cause this to happen. God didn't cause the tragedy to happen. In fact, it's not part of God's character. It's not part of God's love. It's not part of anything that we know about God's plan as seen in Scripture. You know, God graciously gave every single person freedom. Freedom to live, freedom to serve, and freedom to choose to honor God. But by giving us freedom, we also live in a world where people can choose to misuse their God-given freedom for something and for things that are separate from God's will. And I think this is a part of what happened on Friday. And it's not that evil just manifested itself right then and that was the only time that happens. But we recognize that there's brokenness. There's things that are not part of God's will all throughout this world. And we're going to talk about the hope, though, that God offers. Because here's the thing I know. I know for a fact that when people are hurting, as we talked about last week, God is there. God is with us. When people are mourning, God is with us. When we're going through great times, that God is with us. And even when there's times of great need, that God is with us. God is the one putting his hands around us, embracing us. God is the one encouraging us when we need it. And God is the one wanting to pour his hope into the whole world. God is a God of love and grace and peace. And God has a plan. More importantly, this Christmas, we're reminded that people need real hope. I think that's one of the things that we saw and we continue to see even in this area, is that people need real hope. And the cool thing about the gospel is as we sing songs of hope, like "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." It's not a plastic proclamation that we say that's not real for our lives. It's not, we don't rejoice in the, God isn't offering us empty promises. God is offering us something much greater, something that's more real and true, that's available for us now and can work in our lives. And so as in Christmas, we celebrate that God chose to step into the dark places in our world to become God's breath of fresh hope for people who need it most in times of tragedy and in times where we're outside of tragedy, that God saw the world in need and decided to do something about it, decided to go to the cross to do something about this world that's been turned upside down. And because of this, God invites us, his people, to do something about it as well. To be people that are called to be, God invites us to become agents of God's hope. Agents of God's hope, who spreads God's hope and God's love and God's care throughout the whole world. We have a job to do, people of God. That the thing that excites me and the thing that breaks my heart so many times is seeing how much people are desperately in need of hope. But the thing that I want you, before more than anything else in this message today, to just be so pumped about is the fact that God has chosen you and me to be agents of spreading God's hope. That God uses you and me to change the world. That's God's plan. And so today is the third week of our Christmas series called Immeasurable. And we've been talking about this for 3 weeks, obviously. We're going to be going through Christmas Eve talking about immeasurable. And the idea comes from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3:20 when he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." And imagine on Christmas morning walking downstairs and you have these expectations of the type of gift that you're going to get. And all of a sudden you receive a gift that's so much brighter, so much greater, so much more than you ever thought was possible. That's the story of Christmas. That's what God has offered us in Jesus Christ. And so what we're talking about in this series is how in Christmas, how God came down through Jesus Christ to do immeasurably more in our lives and in our church and in our world. But as we approach Christmas, the question that keeps coming up, the question that I keep bringing up to us is, what if God can do immeasurably more in our lives through our church and in this world right now, this Christmas? The scripture reading from today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. As you, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. If you don't have your Bible, no worries. The words will be on the screen. We also offer free Bibles outside on the coffee area. We invite you to pick those up as you go this morning. But what we're doing is we're looking at the big ideas of Christmas, how God was willing to do immeasurably more. And what are the big ideas of Christmas that God doesn't want us to miss? And last week, through the story of Joseph, we learned that God is with us. And my goodness, what an amazing promise that is in light of what we saw this week, that God is with us and can take any mess and can make something beautiful out of it for God's glory. And so this week we're looking at the significance of Mary in the Christmas story. So Luke chapter 1 is where we're going to have the scripture, verses 26 through 38. And I invite you this morning to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of God's word. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." You notice that promise again, Emmanuel. God is with her. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. You can have a seat. Amen. Well, you can imagine this incredible yet terrifying invitation that Mary received. I mean, goodness gracious, she was receiving this amazing invitation and terrifying news on the first Christmas. Just like Joseph, an angel of the Lord, once again, appears to Mary. Appeared to Joseph last week, appeared to Mary this week. And first of all, just pause there and not gloss over this. An angel appeared to her. That's like, I would be freaked out, you know. And you can imagine the reason the angel says, "Don't be afraid," is because when you see an angel shining in glory and all this stuff, an angel is a messenger sent from God. But you can imagine how terrifying it was for this angel to show up and proclaim this message. Not only was an angel there, but the angel was sharing with Mary that although she was a virgin, she had been chosen to become God's agent of hope. She was going to give birth to a son, and it was going to be God's son, the Son of the Most High God. And so God was about to fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies, everything that they'd heard all throughout the Old Testament about this promised one, this Messiah that was going to be sent. And God was going to fulfill all of that. It was going to bring hope into the world and salvation into the world through Jesus. And yet she was the plan. I mean, imagine receiving that news. Without over-spiritualizing the Christmas story, she was probably scared to death. And one of the things that we don't talk about a lot about Mary is she was probably only 14 to 16 years old. She was a young girl, 14 to 16 years old. And so you can imagine, if it were most of us, we would probably have a lot of reservations when an angel said, "Hey, you know the plan for saving the whole world? I'm going to use you, and you're the plan." You know, like, God, choose somebody else. I'm not capable. I'm unwilling. I'm not able to do this. I can't offer that. And so being 14 to 16 years old, can you imagine God coming and choosing to use somebody like that, that even today wouldn't be old enough to have the driver's license? Just to give you a snapshot of this is the Christmas story. This is what God did through Mary. And so if we were in Mary's shoes, it would have been so overwhelming. And so she probably thought to herself, God, how can you use someone like me? I'm too young. I'm too poor. I'm not gifted enough. I'm not good enough for you to use me. I mean, those are the excuses we normally give to God when God is calling us to do something. Is God, I'm not capable enough. God, if you knew everything that I've done, you would never be able to use someone like me. I mean, think about how incapable Mary must have felt. I mean, when Mandy and I had had Peyton, he was almost 4 months old. Babies don't come with owner's manuals. I mean, for those of you who have already had babies, you realize there's no off button. You got to like figure it out. There's no owner's manual. But imagine having the responsibility of being the parent for God. How in the world do you do that? And so she was probably thinking like, God, what if I mess up? I mean, I'm like the parent for you. And what if I mess things up? The whole world might be messed up. And so all these reservation was probably going through her head. But I want you to notice how Mary responds. With all the things we might have said, all the excuses we might have come up with, well, God, please choose somebody else. Mary responds differently. In fact, she knew, she had just been informed that Elizabeth was pregnant. And she was way old, and she was said to not be capable to have kids. And all of a sudden, they found out that she was in her 6th month of pregnancy. And that nothing was impossible with God, seen in that. But so Mary's answer to that was, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. In other words, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but Lord, I'm open. Work through me. Use me. And so the big idea of Christmas that God doesn't want us to miss, as seen in this story, is that God can work through us to become agents of God's hope. God can work through us to become agents of God's hope. Mary was open to being used by God because she knew that it wasn't dependent on her power, on her strength, on her abilities, on her gifts. It was dependent instead on the Lord's. And that's one of those things, one of the incredible, amazing things about being a Christian is the power of God, the Holy Spirit living inside of us, the power that's available to work through us. And so many of us miss the opportunity for God to show God's power working through us in a powerful way because it's not dependent on powerful vessels. Oftentimes, God uses very weak vessels to display God's strength. In fact, God even used a donkey to speak through a donkey in the Bible. God can use anybody and anything. And that's the point that God is trying to get across. Mary was an unlikely candidate. Mary was not the one that anyone else would have chosen, yet God comes to the most humble and wants to display God's power through her. And so many times when God wants to use us in immeasurable ways, I have to be honest, sometimes I get distracted, and maybe you get distracted by all the obstacles that might be in front of us, by maybe the weaknesses that we have or the scarcity that's in front of us, or maybe the unimaginable odds that we might be walking through, that all the reasons why God might not work through us. And so we often stare at these obstacles and say, God, this is impossible. But notice what Mary did. She gives us kind of a model to live by. Mary turned her focus away from the problems, away from her weaknesses, away from all the things that everyone else would have pointed out, and looked at God's strength. All she wanted to know is, God, how is this going to happen? And as soon as she finds out, she says, I'm open. Use me, God. And this is an amazing model on how we can live and how God can work through us. And so if we keep our eyes on the Lord, God can take any can't and remind us that he can. This is the kind of God that we have, that God works in any scarcity and any disappointments, and God can work through us. And so the Christmas story reminds us that God can still do immeasurably more to bring hope into the world through us. One of the examples I like to use is, you know, there's a big difference between a water bucket and a water hose. And God doesn't call us to be a water bucket. He calls us to be a water hose. A water bucket, if you know, you know this, is a water bucket is created, is made, is designed for water to be poured in and to just sit. In fact, you have to physically tip it over and pour it out for water to exit a water bucket. It's made for water to sit stagnant inside. In fact, what happens, and one of the reasons, what happens when water just sits stagnant? If it remains for a long time, all of a sudden, you see this with different marshlands and things like that. As water sits stagnant, it becomes undrinkable, unusable. And so the freshest water is the water that's flowing, it's moving, it's usable. And so God doesn't call us to be a water bucket that just lets God just pour into us and then we just hold it inside. But instead, we're called to be more like a water hose. A little bit corny, but it's a good example for us to be reminded of, is that God wants to flow into our life, to pour into our life, and to continuously have this in-pouring inside and outflow so that nothing of God is ever contained in us. I mean, that's how the Christian life is supposed to be, that when people get around people who are in Christ, people who have the hope of Christ, all of a sudden it rubs off onto other people. And it's just a natural thing, because when we have Jesus in our life, we have the joy and the hope and the peace that we sing about at Christmas. People naturally get exposed to that because Jesus works through us, if we'll let him, and exposes his hope to the world. And so God doesn't call us to be a water bucket, but reminds us to be a water hose. Oftentimes, so many Christians want to be a water bucket. I mean, you've seen this before, and the tendency for all of us is to say, God, I'm comfortable just being a water bucket, letting you pour in. God, give me more of you. Let me more information. God, bless me. Be with me. But the reason God blesses us and pours into us is to change our life, but also to work through our life. Because the reason we need God's power is for God to work through us. And if we're not allowing God to work through us, there's not much reason for God's power to flow in. And so God calls us, the invitation of the Christian life is to be a water hose that lets God fill us and flow through us to other people. So the first way we can do this, first way we can for God to use you is to rely on God's power, not on your own. That seems really elementary, but man, this is the hardest thing to do in our Christian lives. It's a continuous walk of trusting God more and more, where God calls us to do something, and we're invited to be a part of that. And so many times, even as a pastor and even as a church, as you keep going, all of a sudden the tendency is to say, I've got this. I can take it from here. You know, for God to work through you and for God to do immeasurably more in your life, it's dependent not on your power, but on God's power. Did you know that God has more invested in your ministry than you do? God has more invested in your ministry than you do. And you may think, well, I'm not in ministry, but every single person who is a follower of Jesus is invited to be in ministry, is a part of a ministry. We're all called to make disciples of Jesus Christ, to go and spread God's love and hope throughout the whole world. And you all have a sphere of influence, every single person. And many of you have a much greater sphere of influence than even I do ever being up here speaking. I'm here to encourage you and to strengthen you and to remind you to go get them, to spread the love of Christ. But you have spheres of influence where you, as a non-pastor, can step into places in people's lives and to bring hope and areas that I can never go. And so one of the neat things, one of the cool things, is being reminded that we all have ministries and spheres of influence where God is so invested and wants to use you. And part of our role is to be like Mary, to be open vessels and allow God to work in us, to fill us first, and to flow through us. One of the ways we can do that is through prayer. And this seems like a simple thing as well, but we were talking, Mandy and I were talking this past week about how the church started and how we started with just two people, and I would go to Starbucks and I would pray, all right, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm here to work on a couple things and structures and systems for people we don't yet have. and as I would go, I would say, Lord, nothing is going to happen unless you open a door here. God, I pray that you would open a door. You would open a door of opportunity. And if you open it, God, give me the strength to walk through it. And we would pray and pray and pray and say, God, if anything is going to happen, if we're going to reach this community, this gap of so many people that aren't in church, you've got to move because we can't do it. And there's something about that rawness and that dependency on God that is so amazing. And I think that that's one of the things that God invites us to do when we pray. to not pray soft prayers and God be with me and bless me, although God wants us to pray those, but to say, God, I want to pray that you would use me in a powerful way today. That God, at work, when I go to work today, would you use me to be your witness? Would you use me to bring about your hope? And as you open up a door of opportunity, God, give me the strength to walk through it. And if you pray those prayers, I promise God will open up opportunities for you to be agents of hope, even in your spheres of influence right now. The second way that God can use you to be an agent of hope, there's many different ways, but the second way is to model the love of God to all you come in contact with. I mean, first of all, that requires that we're in the Word, that we're being changed by God, that God is pouring into our life. But as God pours into our life, to model God's love and God's care and who God is to other people as a mirror. So as God pours into us, we reflect the image of who God is to other people. Because people need to see the Lord. There's a lot of images out there, and there's a lot of tainted images that try to taint and distract people away from experiencing the hope that's in Christ. And you get to be agents of hope. You get to be people that live differently, that can step into people's lives, even in dark places, and to become spirit-filled presences in people's life, where people experience God through you. Yesterday morning, our church had the opportunity to do that. Many of you came out. We offered free gift wrapping for the whole community, and it was a really, really awesome event. It was one of those events where Mandy and I, again, every time we do an event, we say, all right, Lord, we don't know if anybody's going to show up, but we're going to step out in faith and trust that you're going to work in this. And we want it to be way more than wrapping and tape and free hot chocolate. God, we pray that you would touch lives, that you would make connections, that God, your kingdom would be advanced through this. And as it was amazing to see, because as we sent emails out saying, hey, if anybody can help, please come and help us. We had people putting it on Facebook about the event and people inviting there. And we had people rapping. And it was just an amazing, amazing event. And so I want to thank everybody who came out and helped. It was hilarious because we had people with yellow signs that, you know, so bright that people almost wrecked as they drove by, saying free wrapping. And we pretty much took over the whole parking area of that whole shopping center by Bank of America, and not Bank of America, Bank of North Georgia. And it was great because people were wrapping gifts as people came up, and people were giving out our invite cards for our tickets for the Christmas Eve service, and we're giving out candy canes. And it was really, really awesome to see the collective effort of each individual person doing a small thing and God working in that to be a part of something much greater, to do something much greater. And as people came, it was really cool to hear the stories. People came and they were kind of like, they pulled up. They were like, hey, so what's the catch? Like, this isn't really free, is it? And we're like, no, it's absolutely free. And they wanted to pay us. And we're like, no. We're just wanting to do this for free to say Merry Christmas from our church. Not to say, oh, we're better or anything like that. But just a simple way to show the love of Christ. People kept wondering, though, why a church would be so generous and with our time and with our resources. And to us, it was more than wrapping paper and tape and free hot chocolate. It was a simple way where we believe that God can work through us to display God's love and power that's available for every person. You know, we can talk about churchy words like grace, that means a free gift of God, but when people experience that for real, even through wrapping paper, something that's really free, love that's really free, it helps to shorten the gap, to point them to our Savior who loves them freely as well. So thank you for being a part of something much greater than wrapping paper yesterday. For those who were part of that, that was really, really awesome. And I know God is continuing to work in some families' lives through some connections that were made. There's so many different ways that we can be agents of hope, agents of God's hope. And so I want to invite you to be creative in your spheres of influence. You all have ministry opportunities in your spheres of influence. Be creative. You all have gifts and graces. And sometimes God might want to use your weaknesses to display God's strength. And that's okay. But there's so many different ways that you can help point people to the Lord, to the hope that God offers. And so it could be simply inviting people to church, finding people in your sphere of influence and inviting them maybe to the Christmas Eve service. Maybe a simple thing of just giving them a ticket and saying, hey, I want you to come with me on Christmas. All of a sudden, God uses that to open up a door and ends up changes somebody's life. Sometimes by inviting them personally or even through social media. I'll tell you, just from where I am, I've heard so many stories, even at the Fountain, of people putting something on Facebook and all of a sudden a friend saying, hey, what is this all about? They say, hey, God's doing something really good at the fountain, or we just wrapped all these presents and all this stuff. And all of a sudden somebody says, hey, what is this all about? I've been looking for a church. And so maybe somebody hadn't been in church in 10 years. And all of a sudden, because of wrapping and because of a Facebook post, God connects the dots and brings somebody into the community of God. There's so many different ways that we can do that. Another way we can do that is finding a need and finding a place, a way that we can meet that need and serve. It could be that Christ's hope is so evident in your life that others naturally start to say, hey, where can I get what you got? And all of a sudden, a door is open. There's so many different ways that God wants to work in and through us. But the point is that God can take ordinary vessels, ordinary people, and can do extraordinary, immeasurable things through them. And that's the hope of the gospel for you and for me, that we can be used by God. You know, today we have another opportunity as a church, as I talked about, through our Christmas Bless Back offering, to be agents of great hope. I've talked about there's a need in this community. There's a need in this world that we can be a part of. And we know as a church that we're not called to be inward focused. We're not called to be water buckets that just receive everything from God and hold it all inside. We're called instead to tip that over and to let God work through us and in us and to be agents of hope, because people today need real hope. And for over a month, we've been sharing about this opportunity in ways that you can make a difference, that God could do immeasurably more through us. And this is one of those ways, through the Bless Back offering. And so as we move into that time and as we give generously to both of these ministries that we've talked about, I know that God wants to do way more than offer shoes and clothing and a place to stay for those in the Northeast. I know that God wants to extend something that looks more like the grace that God offers to every single person. And so we've been asking you to prayerfully consider giving above and beyond your normal giving amount to partner with us, to partner with other organizations, to be agents of hope. And you know, one of the things that's funny, as we sat around with a leadership team to pray about what was God calling us to do this Christmas, talking about this offering opportunity, we were talking about how this is very unconventional, especially as a new church, because the tendency in a new church is to say, oh, we need money to keep going and stuff like that. But we know as a church that we don't want to live in a scarcity mindset. That God's called us, and we're blessed by God to be a blessing to others. And we want to continue to let God flow in through us and flow into us and out to the world. Not only with our finances, but with our gifts, in our spheres of influence, in everything that we do. Because this world needs hope. You know, we believe that, we're never more like God than when we give. And John 3:16 gives us this picture really, really great, because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And so we cling to that hope, and we want to join up with what God is doing, and not only giving from our finances, but giving of our lives in service to God, and letting God work through us. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue this service. God, we thank you so much that you call us to be a part of such a high purpose, to have a high purpose of being agents of your hope. And God, we pray that you would do immeasurably more in our lives. God, I pray for each and every person in their spheres of influence when they go to work, even in their sphere of influence at home. God, wherever they are, that you would help us all to become agents of your hope. God, we know that it's not dependent on our strength. It's not dependent on our power. God, we need you to work through us. God, we declare that personally, and we even ask this as a church, that God, for you to do immeasurably more, we have to depend on you. And so, God, bring us to those points where you call us to do things that are way beyond anything we know that we can do on our own. Call us forward to serve in ways that get us out of our comfort zone. And God, allow us to experience your grace and your love and to offer that to the whole world. God, we thank you that when people need hope, that you did something about it, and you invite your people to partner with you to be agents of hope to the world as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.